Black and Jew Podcast, episode 33. All right.
This is a very special episode.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, wait. You got to read off our sponsors first.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah. I forgot. Our sponsors. Sponsors for today's episode are, let's see what sponsors we got. We got Blockbuster. Blockbuster is one of our sponsors. Yeah. Trying to make a
Super
comeback.
Super happy that they're our sponsor.
Yeah.
They got a huge budget, which was crazy, I think.
So, Blockbuster, right? Hey, you got a bookshelf. Fill it up. Blockbuster. No, wait. You got to return them. So, you can't fill up your bookshelf. See?
And also, Hinikongichi octopus-flavored ice cream treats. The best octopus-flavored ice cream treats in all of Japan. Hinikongichi, because nobikon on siyoho.
Hinikongichi. Mmm.
Yep. That's my favorite slogan. So it is a special episode because we're doing a faux long distance Skype chat right now.
You're not here with us. Wish you were, listeners.
Yeah, you're not. But you're not here with us. Hopefully you wouldn't have known that until I said it because the audio quality will be good enough. But I'm using my some audio wizardry to try to make it sound as good as possible so it doesn't sound just like I'm some weird horrible digital mess.
The things happening right now, like all the internet things and the sound things happening, is actually quite amazing. Like there's a lot of channels that this sound is going through.
It literally all of human history has led up to this moment where we could do a podcast on other sides of the continent. Right now it's just other sides of the house. But at some point, because I'm going to be moving pretty soon, it looks like.
Yeah, no, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that invented, like, sound, right? The people that invented chips and speakers, they're all like, we need the Black and Jew podcast to keep on saying, to keep on talking about, like, how a lot of dudes are stupid. We just need
and
that.
People
we need
on
that.
The internet are horrible. That's the highest contribution to society is the Black and Jew podcast.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go down in history.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but I'm a little apprehensive about the move, to be honest. Like,
really?
I'm
how
excited,
come?
But a little apprehensive.
How come?
Well, it's so many life transitions happening at once, right? Because, like, first off, okay, you know, I'm moving with Christine, right? It's not like I'm just moving by myself, which is great to have that support system. But it's like, and that's actually the least difficult part because, you know, we get along so well and we've worked things out and we live together so well that's actually a positive, you know. But I'm moving there out there with her, right? I'm going to be working for the first time in like years. I'm re-entering the workforce. Yeah, because I haven't worked in years. Yeah, because of the whole cancer thing. And
so
I'm
going to
be doing that.
Work.
I'm going to be in a new city. I'm going to be, you know, trying to live the comedy dream. So all these things are happening at once. And so, like, I'm going to be supporting myself, too. Like, I've never supported myself. I was getting to that point before I got diagnosed, the point where my dad was like, all right, you got to move out of the house. And I was going to start supporting myself with my own income. But I got cancer before that happened. So it's kind of been a delay. So now at 28, I'm finally doing that. So it's a big thing. And I'm moving to a new city. And I'm going to have my dreams crushed on a regular basis. So it's a lot of things happening at once.
So now you're in real, like, real shit's happening. That's what's going on.
Real shit's happening.
Happening.
Adulthood is happening.
You're getting a job. You're moving. You're moving in again. You're transitioning from a whole state to another whole state.
Yeah.
No, I can see how that can be very daunting. I mean,
it's a lot of shit to take in, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And this is the moment when, like, that comedy thing, like, becomes real. Comedy and just life, you know, from that point on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we've discussed, like, you know, making it or, like, you know, we've also talked with different people in different aspects of their career down here in Miami.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of people that have left, like Irene left, Ralph left. Ralph's back, by the way, for a little bit.
Ralph Laguerre?
Yeah, Ralph Laguerre.
Where did he go?
He went to New York.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you know, we should probably get him on the podcast.
We should get him on the podcast.
He's still here, and like he went to, you know, the mecca of comedy up there in New York, and he's doing well, and he has his own ideas about going up there. And you know, Irene,
how come he came back?
I think he's trying to, like, when I was talking to him, like, I asked him about it. I think he wants to try something new, maybe transition to, like, Chicago or something. He wants to experience a whole other thing, a whole other, like, you know, stand-up culture, maybe. So, you know, it's just, yeah, like, this is, you were working on spec scripts for, like, you worked on your own pilot, Big Bang Theory?
And Modern Family.
And Modern Family. You're putting in the work, and the work has become really real. And yeah, I think that's
once all those things are done, like once I get my website up, once I get all these things together that I want to get together, like get some new business cards printed out, get my headshots done. Once all that's done, then I'll start getting excited. But right now I'm a little apprehensive because I'm like, fuck, I got all these things to finish in a very short period of time because Christine's, you know, she's got, I don't want to go into specifics before the deal actually goes down, but it looks like the move might be happening soon. Like,
yeah,
like she has her own things. Next month soon. That's how soon.
Yeah. She has her own things that are like very daunting to her on top of your things. She has her own things. And would you say that like your transition seems like from, you know, when we've spoke that your transition personally has been like the easiest, but
what
Christine,
do you mean?
Like, you know, you got your scripts, you got that you already found work in California, right?
No.
Haven't?
I'm going to wait until I get there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was talking to my friend about it, and he's like, look, man, if you really want to find work, people always ask me, they're like, how can I line something up? He's like, you kind of just got to go out there, you know? I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. That's something else, too, that I want to do is do a little bit more research into that, because there's this thing called, I forget the name of the website, it's like it's production assistant something. It's some guy that like he took, it's all this career advice in LA in the film industry. And, you know, I talked to somebody that works on a TV show and he's like, yeah, you know, at first you got to kind of pick up whatever you're going to get. And I was thinking maybe work like temping at a agency or something like that. Mm-hmm. They were saying that's a good idea to work at an agency to see like the business side of it. And usually they have some temp positions. So,
yeah. And then I think we discussed how like all that stuff kind of like happens informally. You'll be temping and then somebody's like, hey, they come rushing into the temp agency. I need someone to write me a script for Modern Family. I have one. I bring it with me everywhere.
That would be nice if it worked like that.
That would be nice if it worked like that.
It's like, hey, just be a stand-in kid for this. My actor hasn't made it yet. Wait, you're the biggest star. I'm firing him and picking you up. Right? And then he like smokes a cigar and puts on his monocle so he can see his stopwatch. He's like, you're going to be in a talkie, kid. What's a talkie? Oh, you don't even know. We're not telling anybody about it yet. But wait till you see it on the newsreels. It'll change everything.
Yes, it still works like old,
old-timey.
Old-timey newsies.
He's like, you're going to be the next...
Orson Welles is still giving you jobs and whatnot.
Exactly. He's got, like, I just picture a guy in, like, an old-timey conductor hat, you know?
I like how the aesthetic for the past has been, like, set in stone.
Like, yeah.
Collectively, us as a society have decided that everyone from the past is in sepia. They talk weird like this, and they all have like plaid hats.
Everything from like 1812 to I'd say 1945. Everybody's like that. Everybody's in a suit, and they talk like this, and they and I'm kind of racist, but you know it's okay because the past, right? Everybody.
There was on the Sirius Satellite Network. They have like a genre channel called the 40s.
Yeah.
Like they have 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Yeah, 40s and on 4, 20s on 2, right? Yeah. 30s on 3, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The advertisement for their Facebook page is hilarious.
Yeah?
Because you've probably seen it. You probably heard it, and you're just being nice and letting me say it. But on the Sirius Satellite, like Facebook, like advertisement for the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
I've never seen this.
Yo, you've never seen it?
No.
Well, what happens is the commercial comes on us and it goes like, if you like what we do here, then like us on Facebook, whatever that is. The corniest, dumbest thing that I honestly think is the most hilarious thing I've heard come out of the radio. and they play it off like we're an old radio station that broadcasts from the past and we're in the future. Whatever Facebook is, just use it.
That's Future Time Machine, the Book of Face. Oh, so you're a Harvard boy, eh? Is that why? Because in Harvard, they have a Facebook. It's like the yearbook there, I think, or some shit. Like, oh, it's called the Harvard Facebook. Oh. Do you know that? Do you ever seen that?
Was that like was that on the Social Network? Like when they came up with
I don't think it was on the Social Network, but Conan O'Brien was talking about it.
Oh yeah, Conan is
He referred to the Facebook at Harvard.
They call it a Facebook?
That's what it's a reference to, I think. It's like a yearbook or some shit. I don't know. I didn't go to fucking Harvard. I went to FSU. I'm dumb.
I was very close to Harvard. Well, for a little bit. I was very close.
Speaking of which, did you see the Jameis Winston, that how he had to sit out the Clemson game? Do you know anything about that? The quarterback from FSU? Did you hear about that in the news?
Happened?
In the news? All right, so the football organizations are so horrible at handling sexual abuse. It's ridiculous. it's really just insane. So this is what happened. So Jameis Winston, he's the quarterback for FSU, right? The number one ranked Florida State Seminoles. And last year they won the championship and there was some rape allegations against him. They botched the investigation. He was never convicted, I believe. And he, since the investigation was botched and stuff, he never got suspended or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, for context, have you ever seen that video of that guy that pranks those news stations that goes, fuck her right in the pussy?
Yeah.
Ever seen that guy?
Yeah.
Well, that's like an inside joke on the internet. So Jameis Winston on campus screams out, fuck her right in the pussy, right? And he goes, and so he gets suspended for a game for screaming out, fuck her right in the pussy in the middle of campus. And the game starts, and like as a joke, I guess he dresses up in like full uniform, but he doesn't play the game. Like it's so ridiculous how they have. So he's on the sidelines in full gear and just a hat on, right? Like that sends a message that you take it seriously. Like the NFL is great. Like we will pretend to give a shit about rape allegations, but really, in reality, we don't give a fuck, you know?
And then college football is just a whole other monster on its own.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what was it? Who was it on ESPN that I was talking about? Like, you know, there's, like, remember the Sandusky, the Sandusky trials and everything?
Yeah.
The college tried to cover that up.
Jesus.
Like, they, you know, oh, gosh.
Because winning is everything, right?
Yeah, like what is it with sports organizations and not wanting to face the facts that some of the people that they employ are horrible?
Oh no, they know. They just don't. They care more about the winning. You know,
that was that's what happened. You know what happened? Remember this happened very recently. Ray Rice. You know who released the video? It was TMZ.
Yeah.
But I think TMZ is not legally allowed to release that.
Really?
Like,
why
just
not?
Just like that. Because that is a case, or it can be a case. Like, that's evidence. And, like, releasing it, you know, like, just openly like that is illegal. I can't remember.
Too fucking late now, buddy.
Yeah, like, I can't remember, like, what the exact statute or whatever it is, but you can't release evidence like that. So... I was talking with someone about this. I was talking with my friend Jared about this, and then he poses the theory that, like, you know, the NFL had this in their possession first, and then they just didn't do anything about it to keep it under wraps. Like, that's his like theory, right?
Yeah, some people have been espousing that, I hear.
Yeah, and this is just like, well, one to address like your initial thing is that, like, what's the guy's name again? The FSU player,
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is convicted of this, or no, he was accused or not?
Yeah, accused. I don't think he was convicted.
All right, he was accused. He was accused. They don't do anything. They don't launch a proper investigation. They don't look into this guy. And then, you know, the one thing he does, they get him for is just, you know, a joke, fuck her right in the pussy, which is very insensitive on his part because, one... of the accusation, and then two, you know, you know, that's actually the only thing that's
And he
really
also
offensive.
Stole crab legs from Publix, so this guy isn't the fucking isn't a fucking Rhodes Scholar exactly, you know.
He stole crab legs from Publix?
Yeah, he stole crab legs from Publix.
Out of all the things to steal from Publix. Shit, dude. Come on.
Well, those are that's a high margin item, you know.
But so dumb.
Oh yeah, dude, this guy's an idiot. I don't know, man, because you get a lot of this sexual abuse allegations, the domestic violence within sports. It's just, you know, my theory is that a lot of sports stars, and not all athletes, because some athletes are actually humble, sensitive, intelligent people. But like, for the most part, to have that athlete mentality of just striving to win all the time, a little bit of arrogance and dickheadedness helps, you know? Like, yeah. I even saw this one study that showed that one thing that all really great athletes have in common is the ability for self-deception, so they could be like, I'm the best. I will beat everyone, regardless of how true that is. So, like, I think that kind of mentality could very easily bleed into you thinking that the law doesn't apply to you and beating someone up or raping somebody.
Yeah. Okay, no, I see your point. And that's actually, like, I mean, this has been discussed at length, you know, through various other channels, but we're doing it on the Black and Jew podcast. It's official.
Why not?
So you're saying, like, the culture of the sports culture, the culture that we as a society feed, like,
yeah,
the way we just, like, worship these guys.
No, I don't know. That's not what I mean.
Oh, that's not what you mean?
What I mean is, like, it takes a certain personality type to do certain things, right? Like, okay. Comedy, for example, draws a very specific personality type, you know? Some people deviate from it, but for the most part, like when you're at a comedy show, right, and you hang out with the comedians, you see a very similar thread, you know? Some people deviate from it, but it's like that, like, comedians, for the most part, are sensitive, you know? Like, we're a sensitive bunch of people. Like, there are some that are not, but for the most part, we are, mm-hmm. right? And that sensitivity is what makes us observe things that happen in the outside world and want to comment on it, right?
Yeah.
With it's literally the opposite for football players, in my opinion. Like, football players are not these sensitive people. They're people that just, like, think about a goal and will do anything they can to achieve it and will convince themselves at any cost that whatever they do is justified to do that, right? Which is why I think a lot of sports people are not funny. Like, athletes are not funny people, you know? Like, they might be goofy. They might make, like, your dad laugh on ESPN because Shaq is going, like, oop, oop, look, some chicken. You got some, what does he say? He's like, you got some grilled chicken or some shit like that. Like, they do, like, silly stuff or, like, he'll, like, run around in, like, his underwear or some shit like that. Like, okay, he's goofy, right?
Okay,
he's not someone to offer hilarious social commentary. You know what I mean? Like, he's a goofy guy. He can do funny things, but, like, he doesn't have that comedian's intelligence and sensitivity. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So I feel like athletes can be kind of the opposite, you know? And, like, they're just... So that's why a lot of them, they do domestic abuse and they do all these things because they... don't really think about their, like, Michael Jordan, for example, is the biggest dick ever, according to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a million stories about Michael Jordan just being a huge cock. And I think that's also what makes him great, you know, because apparently he would talk shit a lot on the basketball court. He tried to psych you out. He would never falter from believing he was the greatest. And that is what makes him a good athlete, or one of the mm-hmm. things that makes him a good athlete, you know, is always believing that you're the greatest and that you're. And then that could bleed into you believing you're beyond reproach and then engaging in certain activities like rape and, you know, domestic assault and stuff like that.
Okay. I see that. And I guess I would maybe to add to that, I wanted to say that, like, on top of that, like,
yeah.
just our culture in general, like, you know, I guess, like, America or Western culture really does, like, put these athletes on a pedestal.
Oh yeah, that so definitely exacerbates it.
You got these guys that, like, think they're the best, and, you know, I do understand that you do have to, like, constantly reaffirm yourself to be good at sports. You know,
yeah,
because you're playing on the top level of sports, so you're playing against guys that all just like you spent their whole life just talking shop and talking sports, right?
And if you have a refrigerator coming at you, you got to be pretty confident that you'll prevent, you know.
when the tank's coming at you, when the defensive line or whatever, mm-hmm. when the ball's coming at you at 90 miles, you got to think, nah, I got this. This is just like every other one. But yeah, so our culture in general reaffirms that, like, we give them trophies. We sprinkle, like, we throw confetti on them whenever they win. You know, like, they expect a certain thing, or like, we totally expect, like, we expect, like, kind of like groupies. Like, we expect, they're just, groupies are gonna come out. What are you, like, they're just gonna throw themselves at him. He's a ball player. He's gonna, don't worry, he's gonna get all that.
And we're all groupies, you know, like, and people say, like, why do these athletes, why do these celebrities think that they're beyond reproach? It's like, why would they not think that they're beyond reproach?
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, we feed that so much. And people that pretend, like, oh, but I don't do that, I don't worship athletes. Well, I'm sure there's somebody else you worship. Like, like, for nerds on Reddit, for example, will be like, oh, I don't worship celebrities. It's like, oh, really? Do you not, like, follow everything that your favorite StarCraft player does? You know, like, do you not worship the ground that Nathan Fillion and Joss Whedon and Will Wheaton walks on? You know, like, it's just a different group of people. Like, I think humans are predisposed to that kind of hero worship, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, why do you think that is? Do you think that, like, goes back? You know what? Maria Bamford has a great joke about this, where she's like, why am I just following Jennifer Aniston? Because she's the pretty monkey that knows where all the bananas are. And when I open up my People magazine, I want to know what Jennifer's doing. And it kind of does go like that, because, like, you got these individuals that do know where all the bananas are. And those bananas happen to be, you know, money, a nice house, fame, men, women, you know, just all that stuff comes to them. And, you know, we do worship them because they've achieved through who knows what means. Yeah. They've achieved something that, you know, only, like, how many people get to do.
I'm going to bro science this and say that I think there's something, because, I mean, primates, right? They have, like, an alpha male in their groups, right?
Okay.
And which I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure there's, like, an alpha beta structure when it comes to primates. And, like, evolved on the evolutionary tree, we're you know, cousins of primates, that we have not completely shed that desire to have an alpha pack leader leading all of us, you know? So we build up these, like, big, you know, we worship these alpha baboons that, you know, like George Clooney or something like that. Right, that, like, he's like the alpha baboon, and we're like, oh, George
His
Clooney, you're the
is
best,
the most red out of all of ours. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and like, and I think that, and I think we like hold them up to these higher, like we build them up, and then, you know, and then it makes them think like, oh, well, I can do whatever I want, I'm beyond reproach, and then someone tweets you beating up someone in an elevator, and then reproach is you're no longer beyond it. So,
yeah. You know, I honestly don't think that sports are valuable in school, or like I honestly do believe that, like, kids should not be given the option to do sports in school.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, like, there's a lot of avenues to pursue sports outside of school. Mm-hmm. And you know what? School is meant to be school. I read this article that, like, broke it down by the numbers and, like, had, like, very prominent examples of, like, schools that just took out sports altogether from their curriculum.
Yeah.
Like,
and what happened?
Well, what happened was that test scores went up. Kids were fighting less. Test scores went up. Kids were fighting less. Things in the school were actually coming up, and, like, all the money put into sports was put funneled into other programs that excelled very well because they had that money. They had the sports budget going into it. And then the kids weren't as stressed out or weren't losing sleep over trying to keep up with not only the sports team, the whatever, you know, like, some, you know how, like, some states, like, the high school football team is all they got to do in that state?
Yeah.
So there's a huge booster society.
I wouldn't say state, maybe.
Well, yeah, town. Well, like, town or whatever.
The only thing we got going on in Nebraska is one high school football team. Just one. There's only,
you know,
one
what?
Team.
Nebraska probably just has that.
Yeah, I was thinking how that it seems like a silly statement, but I would think that might be even accurate, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty fun. I think that I kind of, like, part of me wants to say, like, oh, but what about, like, the discipline you learn from sports and it keeps kids off the streets? But there's a million ways to do that.
Yeah, there's a million
ways
to do that.
That's not sports. That isn't this, like, testosterone filled fucking, like, I don't really know that many people that played sports in high school, but I do know a dude that was in wrestling, and it fostered this very negative environment of, like, testosterone fueled chest thumping, you know?
Yeah.
I sound like I should have a Tumblr. It's this testosterone-fueled chest thumping. But yeah, I think like sports, like when I go to football games, like I love going to football games. I try to catch every Dolphins home game. And it's just such a ridiculous thing when I go to a football game because I feel like it's this big place where men are allowed to yell and let out their emotions. And like my dad's friend that sits near us, like I never hear him yell ever unless it's a football game. Or my dad, I never hear him yell unless it's a football game. And I yell too. And unless it's a football game, I don't. And it's just like these big like monuments to male testosterone, you know? and like sports, like it creates this like this whole emotional anger, you know, like if you ever watched the comments on look at the comments on a rugby video or an MMA video or something, it's just so much testosterone and it's like, I'll fucking kill you, bro. Like I know how to do a reverse jiu-jitsu chokehold or whatever, you know?
I know how to do a capoeira backflip axe kick, yeah. You know, just, yeah, you know, and it's a thing that like lends itself to doing that exact same thing. Like, you yeah. know, like, it's kind of like a, you know, different spaces for different, you know, different individuals.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like sports is like a totally male space. That's where guys can be guys and like hit each other and like, you know, release latent homosexual desires by tapping each other in the butt. But it's totally cool, bro. Don't worry. We're just psyching each other up, right? Why are you psyching up the other team? You know, it's this space that's been like hammered in to be allowed to sports, right? Just like you said, there's like this, like it's this big, like in a stadium, it's this big bowl of like testosterone that's just like,
yeah,
everybody's swimming in, right?
Yeah.
So
it sounds like they're swimming in a bowl of jizz when you say it like that.
They are essentially doing that. I mean, so
we're all just little sperm.
Yeah, you're all just a little sperm
swimming in a bowl of jizz.
So you got like an environment that like for some reason we've allowed or like we've said this is an okay space for let's just for lack of my control of like language, but like this is a space where men can be men, and mm-hmm. that's what we do now. When you just let that happen, just men be men. Not all men are like, you know, like, excuse me, we shouldn't have cheerleaders, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
So that just like runs rampant, you know? I hope I illustrated that well. But like that just like dudes uninhibited, screaming, yelling, yeah. drinking, eating like, you know, sausage or whatever. I don't know what they eat at sports football, sports games.
Eating sausage or whatever.
You know, now that I break it down, there's a lot of phallic food at yeah. sport. It's just, you know, they're just dick monuments.
There's pizza and burgers too, though, just to let you know. So it's not all dick monuments.
So you just let that just run uninhibited, just people smacking into each other, drinking and eating sausage.
And people get really aggressive with each other, dude. Yeah. Like I'm like, dude, it's a fucking game. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Like, this one guy was like, they were playing, like, who the fuck? We were playing the Patriots, and like,
oh, you talked
yeah,
about
this. Yeah, and this guy's like, hey, fuck you, bro. And he's like, shut your fuck, like he was yelling at a Dolphins guy, and he's like, yeah, how many fucking rings do you have? And then and then this guy's like, hey, fuck you, shut your fucking mouth and watch the game. He's like, hey, fuck you, bro, like the Boston guy. And like they're about to fight. I'm like, dude, it's men in tights passing a football around, like relax, you know? Yeah. And like, and this is coming from someone, I'm not like Mr. like, oh, sports are the worst thing ever, people should read comic books and absorb higher culture. Like, I love fucking football. Like, I go to the games, I tailgate, you know what I mean? Like, I do all that shit.
Yeah.
But it's just, some of the shit is just so dumb, you know? And it's like a lot of meat-headed, moronic, testosterone-fueled. And I wonder, what do you think? Do you think if men had more spaces to let go that they wouldn't need sports as much? I feel like they might, you know?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting point. Yeah, like, if men had more, like, more rooms or avenues to... Well, that's implying that like that's the main function of sports, and that's why men love sports, because it's an indirect way for them to express themselves in a way with other men that isn't weird. like, you know, when you start talking about how you broke up with your girlfriend with your boys, and they're like, fuck that bitch, just drink, man, let's get you laid.
Yeah.
Instead
of
like being like, oh, I'm sorry, man, I remember when I broke up with my girlfriend. There's none of that. So
yeah.
what you're implying is that, like, because men have very limited avenues of expression, like expression of emotion, of thought, or, you know, all that stuff, sports are where, like, this pent up energy or this pent up emotional, like, energy is expressed. And in a relatively safe environment. Well, actually, no, that's wrong. If it was a safe environment, we wouldn't have these athletes that do what they do. But
well, in the terms of the stands, it's sort of safe.
Yeah, in the stands.
It's safe in terms of, like, you could be like, fuck, like you could say whatever the fuck you want. People will be okay with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a safe space for women, for example, is not Reddit is not a safe space for women. Like, you can't express something without being like, oh, shut up, I bet you friend zoned like 30 guys this week, you know?
I bet you friend zoned like 30 guys. You know what? There should be a quota for friend zoning guys. Just like a mass, like, psychic, like, female quota. Just like friend zone 30. Just 30. Make them mad. Just friend zone like 30 guys.
You're the friend zoningest bitch ever.
You know, the friend zone is okay. Obviously, the friend zone's total bullshit, but it's bullshit because, like, it's, I don't think anybody, not many people hear this, but it's bullshit because that means you weren't a real friend. And that just sucks, like, in general. Like, if you just had like let's say you had a buddy, like a guy buddy, and he, you know, you just got along so well, and, you know, like, he just happens to have a thing for you, like, he just wants to fuck you, and you're sharing your life, you had him over Thanksgiving, and, you know, you're just telling him about Cindy, Susan, Samantha, and, you know, when he tries to make a move, or he's like, yo, let's go out, bro. And then you're like, sorry, dude, I'm not gay. I don't want to go out to you. I'm really good friends. And like, you fucking tease, you stupid bitch. You friend zoned me. Oh my gosh, it's just, you're not.
You know,
being
I think before the neckbeards hijacked the friend zone, it had a legitimate meaning. You know, because there is situations where you're trying to sleep with a girl, and she's like, I don't think about you like that. I'm sorry. And then you're in the friend zone. You know, which is. But now it's because of neckbeards, it has become a loaded term. So you can't really say it anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Kind of like, what's another phrase? Like, I can't think of another one. But yeah, I get you. Like,
yeah, because like the friend zone used to be like it, because now there's so much vitriol behind the friend zone. Because the friend zone is like
it's used as a starting point to attack.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. And like the woman was doing something wrong, but it used to be like I've had girls where like say in college or whatever, like we've hung out and like I'd go in for the kiss and she'd be like, no, I don't really think about you that way. And I wasn't like, what the fuck? Then why'd you agree to hang out with me all that time? I was like, oh, okay, never mind then.
Then why'd you talk to me about your secrets?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Then why did we go to Color Me Mine and make dishes?
You think I like that? You think I like that? Oh, I can't wait till the football season starts.
And then, you know, when they're at the football game, they're instead of yelling like "Go Patriots," they're like, "That girl, I'm totally misread the signals, and I'm really mad at myself. But I directed my anger towards her, and that wasn't fair. Fuck, hand me a sausage."
that's really what we're screaming at football.
"Go Patriots" and like "You suck" is just coded, just like
yeah.
Maybe there's like a special like friend zone like neckbeard frequency that when they cheer for sports or their favorite StarCraft player, like if like only dogs can hear like them expressing their true feelings.
It's like, what's that? Like, what's wrong with your dog, man? Some neckbeards he just brought flowers to a girl's house unsolicited and found another guy there.
Oh my gosh. Amy Schumer has a great skit about that where she like there it's her with a friend at a bar, right? And her friend's like using an app, and Amy Schumer's like, hey, what is that? Oh, it's called It's called Gentleman. It's something Gentleman. And he's like, what's Gentleman? Oh, it's an app that connects you to guys that you totally don't want anything to do with, but they'll do anything for you. And it's like, and then like this guy comes in and like brings her a drink and he's like,
Hello, m'lady. That's the name of it.
Yes, hello, m'lady. That's called, yes. It's called
m'lady.
M'lady. Oh my gosh. That was such a brilliant like skit. Oh, God. There's a really strong writing team in that show. Like Tig Notaro, yeah. Amy Schumer. That's the only ones that come to mind. But it's like, it's when the last time I looked.
No, it's funny, dude. It's a funny show. Hello, m'lady.
Hello, m'lady.
Yeah, it's funny how I think that the friend zone complaints and football games. Ooh, that's gonna be a great title for this podcast episode. Friend zone complaints and football games.
Yeah.
My new young adult novel. Friend zone complaints.
Oh shit.
Football games and
you just
fedoras.
Hit the money. You just that.
I'm gonna name this episode "Friend Zone Complaints, Football Games, and Fedoras." Because fedora, if you people don't know who have lives and don't spend as much time as me and Reggie on the internet, the fedora is the international symbol for neckbeards. For sad guys, sad nerdy guys.
Can we dissect that for a second? The fedora. Yeah. How did? Okay, this is where I'm like, this is where I think the fedora comes in. I think the fedora was, you know, around the time when fedoras became popular, they were featured a lot in GQ and like all these, you know, Vogue and like fashion magazines.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember when I first saw fedoras, it was always like guys that got a lot of ass wearing them. You know,
yeah,
it wasn't neckbeards.
Yeah, like the fedora was an actual thing that was happening around, like, I remember when it was happening because of GQ.
The Fedora, An Oral History by Reginald Desjardins.
When, like, they started coming back, like, headwear in general started coming back. It was, like, the fedora first, and that was around, like, I want to say 2011.
Was that it?
Yeah, like
I feel like it was earlier than that, like 2009.
2009? Do you think? Yeah, 10? You know what? Probably 2009. Because I remember
maybe I just saw it earlier because I hung out with some fedora pioneers.
Real fedora pioneers that like brought the name, like they actually wore tweed suits and had a pipe in their pocket. You know, like real fedora people. But like, yeah, like it started coming up and now it's used as like the international symbol for like
neckbeards.
Yeah, atheist neckbeards hate. Every, you know, the haters, like atheist neckbeard haters. And I want to know, like, what is the attraction to the fedora that makes it okay? This is our uniform. It's a Sonic hoodie, fedora, New Balances, and really baggy jeans. Bam, that's
Sonic. Sonic. Probably because like the fedora, it's like this ridiculously dorky version of what someone thinks classy is, you know?
Okay.
And they want to like hold themselves over everybody else, be like, look, I'm classy. I got this classy headwear. But they don't actually want to put real effort into their appearance because if they did that, then they wouldn't be wearing a fedora and they'd actually go to the gym.
There's something much deeper. Like, I can't wait till like, you know what? Give it 10 years and we'll get an anthropological study by like someone who like... But like someone from Harvard that also spends as much time on the internet as you or I.
there's got to be a thesis.
Yeah, a thesis
about or a dissertation about neckbeards and fedoras.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's got to be.
You know that kind of brings up a listener. Quarry.
We have a fedora listener.
No.
We have a gentleman. We have a supreme gentleman.
No, Quarridge is a friend of mine, and he listens to the podcast.
What's his name?
Quarridge.
Quarge?
Yeah, Quarridge.
Was that like his Christian name?
Yeah, that's his given name. Shouts out to Quarridge. Great guy.
Shout out.
So, there was like this thing happening recently called a Gamergate, right? Gamergate was a situation where like I can't remember her name. Let me look it up real quick. And while I'm looking it up, let me remember her name. It was an indie developer, Gamergate. And this is a good thing about like us both having computers. We both get to look up things. It's not just you. You know, I have the sneaking suspicion that you totally look up porn while you're like, oh yeah, look up that thing. I'm trying to.
That's what I've been doing this entire time, actually. All right, so what is it that Quarge did again? Explain this to me.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. I didn't say that clearly. What Quarge did was he's like, hey, could you guys talk about Gamergate or like the things surrounding
Oh, God, dude. That's like a whole episode.
It's like a whole episode.
That is like the biggest web of... That's like a Russian spy thriller trying to dissect Gamergate.
Yeah.
So he wanted us to talk about Gamergate. Yeah, what are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. There was a very... Okay, so I just need to look up the person's name so that way people have context.
Zoe Quinn, right?
Zoe Quinn, yes, that's yeah. it. Zoe Quinn.
Did you see she wrote an article on crack.com about Gamergate?
Did she? I did not.
Yeah.
Well, okay. There's a couple things to Gamergate. The first one, the initial thing, and I say initial, like this is the jumping off point for Gamergate.
Yeah.
The initial thing was there was a jilted ex-boyfriend, Zoe Quinn's jilted ex-boyfriend. Apparently.
Well, let's explain who Zoe Quinn is first.
Yeah.
All okay. right. Zoe Quinn, indie developer. She made this game called Depression Quest. All right. And she came to the forefront when continue.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Mike Marinoff. When her ex-boyfriend was pissed off that, you know, he's an ex-boyfriend and just... started releasing lies and slander about her, like, oh, she's sleeping with a bunch of people in the community.
Yeah, the main thing was that she was sleeping with developers in order to increase, to get better reviews on her games.
But here's the thing. The people that she allegedly slept with, one, did not mention her game at all. Like one Kotaku writer, he did not review the game at all. Like...
I didn't even know that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, apparently, like, okay, she slept with him to get a better review, but one, Kotaku in general did not review the game, and the guy that she slept with did not review the game at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, like, a bunch of gamers, now here, the gamers came to arms, and they're like, what's wrong with, like, gaming journalism and the gaming, like, journalism community? It's full of, like, you know, backhanded deals, people fucking each other, you know, all that stuff, right? And then that led... So then Zoe Quinn's situation, one is... Okay, first off, who cares who she sleeps with? That doesn't uh-huh. matter. And two, just using her... and attacking her.
But wait, finish why they're upset though.
Oh, they're upset because, well,
and like what was the backlash though?
The backlash was like apparently they're angry that gaming journalism isn't what it can be or what it should be. But the thing about this is that like talking with a lot of like talking with some friends that are really active, like well not really. Well, they're very good gamers, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there were other things under this that is, that kind of like, if you're really into the Gamergate, like, if you're really in the thick of it, there's yeah. other things that were going on that's not, that weren't Zoe Quinn. But, and here's one of the things. Okay, where was I?
And it's and the thing too was that people were just giving her rape threats and death threats and spreading all these horrible things about
yeah.
her. And
yeah, there was
a subreddit was created just to shit on her, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And she wrote an article in Cracked, and like her point was like she's like, what it's like to be the internet's most hated person. And people were like, oh, she did all these fucked up things. It's like, all right, regardless if she did anything fucked up, right? Like, let's say she did sleep with these guys, right? And she did get better reviews because of it. Is it? Should you really threaten to fucking kill somebody over that? Like, I think gamers need to chill the fuck out because it's just video games, all right? Like, if you're going to, and especially since probably a lot of gamers criticize football fans for being meatheads and going apeshit over irrelevant video, like an irrelevant game, like, come on, dude, it's a video game. Like, yeah, there's mm-hmm. shitty parts of the industry, but it's like, you shouldn't make someone fear for their life because they did something bad in regard to video games. You know what yeah. I mean?
Yeah, no, most definitely. And because of the Gamergate situation, a lot of things started coming back up. Like the vitriol against like Anita Sarkeesian.
Yeah, the feminist frequency girl who yeah. she has a YouTube series about feminism.
About women and tropes in video games.
Yeah, and like that too. Like she has these things about like all these tropes in video games, like video games do have a misogyny problem, right? And like she uses all these examples, and these guys seize on. In one example for the game Hitman, she drags around the dead bodies of all these hookers, right?
Yeah.
And like they're like, oh, but why'd she use an example that isn't accurate? Because you're supposed to not kill the hookers in the game if she had all these really good examples to draw on. And it's like, that's not the point. Like, why are you, like, I don't understand why people try so hard to put the wool over their eyes about there's a misogyny problem in gaming. And by shitting on her all the time and giving her rape threats, you are proving the point that she's trying to make better than she ever could, you know?
I want to play devil's advocate a bit. How about, okay, just playing devil's advocate. How about how about damned if you do, damned if you don't?
What do you mean?
Okay, so let's take like story and let's take representation and let's take video games as a medium.
Yeah.
Okay. Now they're just like in books, there are a lot of books that have strong like characters of different creeds, nationalities, yeah, and different genders and sexes and all that stuff. And different, like, you know, there's strong characters that reflect all aspects of life, right?
Yeah.
Now let's have someone go and try and do that, but then fail at doing that. All right. So one, they tried to make a strong, let's just, for the sake of argument, they tried to make a strong female character, right?
Yeah.
But they ended up not succeeding in doing so. Now, that's a problem, correct?
Uh-huh.
Now, let's say that we have someone who is not very good with portraying like a female character, and then they just choose not to do that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So
you're saying that, no, I don't know, man. Just because, yeah, like, in video games, like all these women, so many of them are objectified and reduced to, like, sexual background noise, you know? And I don't think it's for lack of being able to write a good female character, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's more just, like, that's what the people want, first, on the one hand, and also just because, like, the gaming community is full of a bunch of misogynistic douchebags.
Okay.
You know?
Well, yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, no, I see your point. And, yeah, no, I don't think that, like, when it comes to, like, what I presented earlier, there's no, like, you know, like, these games have huge budgets.
And, yeah.
You know, maybe that's not the right way to go about it, but these games have huge budgets, and there's mm-hmm. time that's put into them. And I know it's a very long time before we start looking at every aspect of our media culture through a critical lens, and you know, like start like looking at like, okay, like Scandal's good because of this, but it's weak because of this, you know?
Yeah.
Scandal,
yeah,
who has a very prominent like female of color on there, and like,
yeah,
she's viewed as a very strong like female character, but then people will criticize it because like of her relationship with the president, where she's just like put into a beta position, you know, like so, you know, people can't, like, people look at it that way, and I mean, that's like that we're away from there. You know, we're uh-huh. away from there. We're right here where we're still, like, you know, shining a light and looking at our media critically.
Uh-huh.
So games are a long way from there, but games take time, and they have a budget, and they have writers. Like the cast in a game,
yeah,
is very vast. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I don't understand what it takes to make a game, but a cast in the game is very vast. And mm-hmm. like with such a forward media, like with such a way to display and to like show and to like, you know, do, there uh-huh. should be a bit more, it should be more more forward thinking. At least, yeah, I feel that way. And maybe I'm being too harsh on like the medium itself.
No, you're not, because like there's a problem. Like, video games as a medium has a problem. Like, it reflects its user base of young men, you know, like what they want.
That's a very interesting point. And
yeah,
believe it or not, young men, the one who we think, like, you know, the 12 to 18 year olds, they actually are not consuming video games more than women. Women.
Yeah, but that takes into account casual gamers.
No, true. That's very true. But still, but women are still consuming more, though. Like,
yeah, but it's like, but that not on the console and not with PC, you know, like I don't think anyone's complaining that Candy Crush or Bejeweled has a misogyny or sexual violence problem.
That's the gaming,
you know,
solution. Just make a bunch of addictive pay to play puzzle games.
Yeah, because if you include Angry Birds and Candy Crush in there. Yeah, women are consuming more video games, but that's not really where the issue lies. You know, if you look, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but if you look at first person shooters and RPGs, yeah, okay. I guarantee it's more skewed towards men. You know,
okay.
And it's reflected in just the way that women are portrayed and the way that they dress and stuff like that. Like just the way that women, like, look at women's armor in video games. Like really, is an exposed midriff an efficient way to stop an arrow or a sword? I'm not too sure about that. I don't think so. Maybe if you're going into battle, cleavages should not be a priority.
Yeah, no, very true. No, I totally agree. Here's another thing, though. What was I going to say? A lot of the articles, like, after Gamergate were talking about, what's it called? They were talking about, like, a gamer, like what makes and compose and what it means to be a gamer. And then there was like an interesting article that pointed a shift in like the advertising for gaming. All right. Uh-huh. So it used to be very neutral advertising, like both parties, everyone, because, you know, gaming was relatively young. They wanted everyone to be in it. And then there was a slight increase in like males, young males and like males consuming video games. So then they shifted the ad strategy towards young males. So
when did that happen?
That was like around, like that was like in the 90s. Like on, that was like in the 90s. If I ever find it, I'll post it, or like I'll tweet it with like the, you know, the Black and Jew podcast, like Twitter. But that shift happened like 90, like late 80s, early 90s, and that shift, like, so you have like a bunch of companies that are just gunning for the young males, right?
Yeah.
So you have a demographic that is being catered to, like, exclusively. Like, what do young males like, or what have we created that young? What system have we created that forces young males or like males to like this, right?
Yeah.
And then that feeds into that. You know, that feeds into, like, you know, guys feeling like, oh, what's, you know, like guys that either aren't aware or are aware sometimes, you know, that aren't aware or are aware, they're like, why, what's wrong with like this woman? I didn't kill her in Hitman 2. That doesn't matter. it's not so much that you didn't kill her. It's that that she was put there as that option, you know?
Yeah.
Like they see it very static, but they don't see the whole. They see a very tiny picture, not the big picture.
Because these fucking neckbeards are looking for any excuse to shit on women, because they will not face their own shortcomings. That's really what it is, in my opinion.
I think that kind of like simplifies it. But yeah, no. Well, I don't mean to attack your opinion. I just mean to say that attack it
all you want.
that oversimplifies it. Like, I honestly do think that oversimplifies.
You think so? You think it oversimplifies it? Because I think that's the root of it, you know? I mean, there's a lot more nuance, but I think the root is of people being even just dickheads in the internet in general, or maybe even just dickheads, is that they have some self-dissatisfaction, and they take it out on the rest of the world, and they're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me, it's the world that's wrong. Mm-hmm. As opposed to being like doing that uncomfortable introspection and be like, shit, maybe it's me, maybe it's not the world, you know?
Yeah, like, we're all in a process of unlearning, but I just think, like, I mean, isn't everyone dissatisfied with the world? Like, I know I got a couple things.
No, but I'm not talking about that. Like, yeah, okay. Everyone has a certain amount of dissatisfaction. I'm saying, like, that really vitriolic, like, angry brand of internet hatred.
How could I forget this? The
Like on 4chan or something. You know?
How could I forget? The same article I was referencing about the ads and, like, how, yeah, like, yeah. It also went on to mention that, like, Now the gaming community, the one that we know, the young males, the teenagers, the young boys,
yeah,
they're finally like, it's like someone's infringing on their territory. Like with the reason why Anita Sarkeesian gets so much flack is because she's like, she's walking in a space that is not traditionally hers. You know,
yeah.
and people see that as an attack on their space, and that's why there's this vitriol towards, like, you know, female gamers and having them, you know, checking them, like, oh, really, what's your favorite Battlefront, or, you know, just
yeah.
There's always that, because,
and I think there's aggression towards nerd girls because these guys have not been able to get laid, and they will not want to improve them. They're so averse to self-improvement that they got to blame it on an external force. And hey, who are you? Oh, okay. You want to, I'm going to just lay this on you, you know, and usually their space is such a cock fest. So when there's a woman invades it, it's like, I'm just going to go focus all this anger I have towards myself and turn it against the female sex and make you the focal point of it since you're right here in front of me.
Yeah, that's really like if just getting laid doesn't like whether you got laid or haven't, you could still be a douchebag, you know? Like,
yeah, no, it's true. It's true. But I feel like the people that are having trouble with it are way more of douchebags.
I think like it's true. Well, maybe not true. I don't really
look. This is a point I'm making, right?
Yeah.
Behind any angry misogynistic YouTube comment, or behind any, you know, con attendee that's yelling at a girl in a slightly inaccurate Harley Quinn outfit, is not some self. It's not a happy, content, confident person with a healthy love life is the point that I'm making. So the root of that, I think, is some sort of romantic dissatisfaction, you know, which I say, oh, you haven't gotten laid yet. But I guarantee you none of those people are getting laid.
Okay. I just feel like romantic dissatisfaction is like it can't just be that. Because I've been like I've
oh,
been
no,
turned
it's
down.
Not just that. It's not just that. But
yeah. No, I see where you're coming from. I just like. That's the one that you usually, you know, go for. And then like that makes sense. When you've been denied, okay, like here's what I'm trying to say. They are viewing the opposite, they're viewing women as gatekeepers.
Yeah.
As gatekeepers. And then
I need 35 more experience to open this lock now.
They view women as gatekeepers and like, oh, they're in control of this thing that I want to get or that I want to achieve. And I can't I can't take it by force, and she's in control of it. So it's totally up to her. She knows what I want and she won't give me what I want.
And then I think if you pile the objectification on top of that is like a woman is just this thing to be purchased or obtained, then like... And she's preventing you, then that just channels frustration. There's so much other shit under it. It's like, first off, it's like, I'm dissatisfied with myself, right? Mm-hmm. So I create a superiority complex to think I'm better than other people to mask that, right? And then it's like, because I'm dissatisfied with myself, I don't put any effort into my appearance or into my personality, or I fend off personal growth instead of having to look deep inside myself, right? And then that is a very unappealing personality trait, and that is what repels women. And instead of going through all that, it's just like, oh, women don't like me because they don't know how awesome I am and they like douchebags.
I agree with that. I think what's really interesting, the one thing that's really interesting to take from here is that it's really interesting how like nerd culture is like sometimes like let if we're totally honest, if all video games were to disappear, like we'd probably be okay. Like then
I don't agree. I don't agree.
Okay, well, I was being facetious, but like
I don't agree, Reggie. Like, stop the podcast. Video games are essential for life. That justifies me giving people death threats over some possibly coerced reviews.
So what I wanted to say is that it's very interesting how like you know, nerd geek culture could be used to put yourself above someone. Like, like if you go to a con, like, and you, I guess, like, you just don't have that look, and then you ask someone, hey, where are the Iron Man comics? I really like the movies and I want to get into it. Yeah. And then it's their opportunity to like, oh, I know absolutely everything about Iron Man. Let me use this to get one up on you. And I see it all the time, like with nerd culture. Like if you just so happen to know a lot about the Black Canary and someone, and someone doesn't, you use that. You're flexing, you know, you're flexing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when you're benching, you're like, people know that you're benching 250. Now, yeah. when you're at a con and you're like, first it was Diana, that was the first black canary, and then her daughter picked it up, and then she became a metahuman.
And you're definitely not lifting 250 literally because that would require leaving the house.
So then you try and like flex some other way, and that's the way you flex. And I just think that's very it's very interesting how like we all try and flex in some way, and then a lot of like.
Do you even Black Canary, bro?
Do you even Black Canary? By the way, guys, Black Canary, awesome DC superhero. You should check her out. She's really cool.
When is she getting a movie? Guardian of the Canary.
When is she getting Iron Canary Avengers? A Black Iron Canary Avenger.
Is she an Avenger? Is a Black Canary an Avenger?
She was like the head of a... She's part of an organization called Birds of Prey, which is really cool because it stars Oracle, the Huntress, and Black Canary. And that's a really cool series of books. Check that out. And she was also the leader of the Justice League for a little while.
I don't even have a vagina, but you're drying it up right now.
So, wait.
But look, dude, like, I think that all that shit is a function of self-hatred, you know?
And
right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. But do you think that all self-hatred, just all self-hatred breeds all misogyny? Or is it like...
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've never met a misogynist that I could say is comfortable with themselves and confident and happy.
Okay. I think like there's that. And then there's also just like, you know, everything else that we're swimming in that like lends to reaffirming.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I guess like there's always a little misogyny. Like I'm sure I say misogynistic things from time to time just because like it's ingrained in my head. You know,
mm-hmm. but
I think the overt venomous misogyny, those people are just giant self-hating cunts.
Yeah,
is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. And another point I wanted to bring, like, by the way, feminist frequency.
Yeah,
she makes it so that way you could critique her work, right? Because I'm not really sure what her background is or if there is really, if you need a background, but she puts all her links and all the video games she uses for each video under the comment section, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to delve it. So she makes it so that way you could like, okay, I agree with this, but I don't agree with that. Like any other like any other paper or thesis or dissertation, you have to mark your sources. You have to do all that. It needs to be dissected. That's what this going into the greater world means. Like when you create something, movie, music, video game, book, or anything, it becomes an orphan once it's published, once it's released. Yeah. It becomes an orphan and we're allowed to adopt it and take it and dissect it however we see fit.
Yeah.
Now, if
except for my stuff, because I'm beyond reproach, because I'm better than everybody.
Exactly. You're the best comedian, Mike. I don't know why. Why would
no,
you?
No, the best at literally everything. I'm beyond reproach. Why won't women have sex with me? God damn it! I'm gonna go shop for fedoras on eBay.
It Trilby's, Mike. Trilby's.
Oh, Trilby's. Yeah, I'm sorry. Trilby's.
Man, Neil deGrasse Tyson would love my Trilby. So when that happens, it becomes an orphan. We're allowed to dissect and look at this and criticize it and analyze it as we see fit. And I think if video games want to move forward as an art form, and there's a lot of like game developers that don't view video games as work, and they have their own reasons for doing so. But if we want to, but just like video games are becoming a medium that. Just like TV, movies, those aren't relatively new. But when around their time, they weren't viewed as serious. Now they're viewed as serious, you know. Mm-hmm. So, video games, if they want to move forward as an art form, as a thing that like we consume as human beings, they're going to need to be critiqued. They're going to need to be talked about, and they're going to need to be like you know dissected. And like there's a movement in video games to like make that happen. Like they're creating a language for it to talk about it. And with feminist frequency, we're having someone take the feminist perspective and apply it to video games. And now that she's just the first one, you know, no one nails it on the first try and no one pioneers like critiquing a brand new medium and like is insanely good at it the first time.
Yeah.
Not implying that she's not doing well. She's not doing it well. And when we look at video games and we look at the people like consuming them, I don't want to say that not all of them took a really good women's studies course, but you know, when we consume media, we're not always looking at it through a critical lens. And sure, I could play Hitman and not kill them, but that's people that say that are missing the point. They're missing that, like,
I think purposely missing the point.
Yeah, like maybe they themselves don't want to see at their video games as that. Like, you know, if no one likes being called a racist, and no one likes being called a misogynist. And
I'm going to have to bring up. I disagree.
What's that, Cletus? By the way, guys, we have a special guest, Cletus. What was?
I love being called racist.
There was real quick, there was this guy that used to be a comedian here in Miami, and he'd have a radio show where he'd do the voice of the host himself, and then he'd do the voice of someone who called in, and then he'd try to fish for people to respond to that, and it was just hilarious. Like, it's just him playing around with people calling.
That's awesome.
We should do that. We should just like invite like three people to the podcast and then like just do stupid voices.
Well, you gave it away now.
I don't ever see it coming. They'll never see it coming. So there's that, and like if video games want to be taken seriously, they need to be critiqued, and they need to be like, there's gonna be a school of thought very soon, or sometime in the future, and then like this will be commonplace, and then you'll have like, you know, Noam Chomsky will start dissecting video games or something. I don't know, but that's like a thing that needs to happen.
Yeah, I feel it. I agree. All right, so I think this is a good time to wrap it up. What do you say, sir?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. By the way, we got to Quaritch's thing a bit too late, but yeah, that is a full episode. Like, if we...
Yeah, we could talk about that for hours.
Yeah, that is a full
episode.
Yeah,
maybe we'll bring it up in another episode.
Yeah.
But hey, we got a big event coming up on Friday, right, Reggie?
Yes, we do. Skeleton Twins premiere at the Coral Gables Art Cinema. Guess what, guys? Two shows, four comedians, one host. Who's that host? Me, Reginald, your favorite co-host on the Black and Jew podcast. Who's one of the comedians? Mike Marianoff. Who's another one? Daniel Reskin, Bradleyus, and John Gregory.
Bradleyus.
Bradless. Bradless? Bradleyus.
Bradless.
Bradless.
Yeah.
I guess I for some reason,
look,
want to...
Look at you. You are now the person fucking up Haitian first names when it used to be everyone doing it to you.
What can I say? Anyway. Just like drop, and you get, not even play with you.
It's 20 bucks. You get a open bar from 9 to 10 and a movie screening. Mm-hmm. That's pretty
and
cool.
And a comedy show.
Ah, fuck that. I know all the comics. Very low quality. Speaking of which, I will be the low quality on two really good shows on Tuesday. I will be in Deerfield at American Rock Bar. Doing a guest spot with Lisa Correo and headliner Forrest Shaw, who is spectacular. And if you go on my facebook.com/MikeMarianoffComedy, you will find, you can get some discounted tickets on Living Social. And then on Sunday for $5, I will be at Shirley's at Gramps hosting for John Vargas and Forrest Shaw. It's going to be an awesome show.
Are they recording that night?
No, I don't think so. That's on Friday, they're recording.
Oh, they're recording on Friday. Yeah. So it's like a dry run on that day.
No, on Sunday it's just a show.
Oh, okay, awesome. Yeah. Those are all fantastic things happening in Miami comedy, and you guys need to check
and
them out.
Forrest and John Vargas, two of my favorite South Florida comedians. So.
Oh yeah, the heavy hitters, Titans.
Titans. Yeah. All right. So until next time, guys.
Until next time. See ya.